Watch Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. It doesn't say to all the sinners in Philippi. It says to all the saints at Philippi. But then it says to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with their overseers and deacons. Isn't that cool? He's not writing to the sinners. The sinners don't want to hear it. Do you ever try to talk to somebody that doesn't believe in God?
Yes.
And you're trying to explain God to them and they just, get away from me. Leave me alone. How many can relate? Right? They can't hear you. So what are you doing trying to talk to them? You're wasting your
breath.
You're wasting your breath. Okay? Wait for the Holy Spirit. If you write and speak to the saints, they listen. They hear you. Amen? Now, what is he saying? Verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of our God. He said, whoa, that's a mouthful. Now, if you had the Amplified, there would be a lot more words, but I didn't get a press to go there. I'm just trying to show you the prayer of the apostle, Paul, focused on a town and a place where he has already been. And he's writing back to them, reminding them of what he's doing. His prayer is all important. Now we're going to go a little deeper. I want you to see verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. That's my prayer too. But watch the next part. Whether in life or in death, or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. That should take care of all of you depressed people thinking that everybody's got great value except for you. How many have ever had this kind of thought pattern? Well, you're not that important. You're just a piece of you know what. And you can fill in the blank with whatever term and self-derogatory words that you can find. Okay? I'm not looking now to have you walk around with this attitude that I'm perfect and everyone else is not. That's not the case. St. Paul is really trying to say to the house of Philippi, look, I am a worker in the field. I am interceding so that you'll make it to the finish line. This is to coordinate again the body of Christ, the body ministry. The people in the body are all important. Everyone has value. There's no such thing as a non-important Christian.
You say, well, in my church, they don't do this. Well, in his church, they did. They all interceded as led by the Holy Spirit. And they were informed by the Lord to pray, because there was no telephones and there was no cell phone. There was no internet. Yet they changed the entire Roman world at that time. Without one phone call. Can you imagine trying to live without a phone? Or a radio? Or a television? What did you say?
There's days where I wish we didn't have all that.
Well, then shut the power off.
Yep, that's what I saw on TV. A woman does that once a week, and I'm going to do it. Once a week. See what they would do without it.
I knew a family who would literally unplug.
Everything, right?
Everything that wasn't absolutely necessary. They left the heat on. They left the hot water for the shower. Mm-hmm. But the rest, they got along without all this noise. Mm-hmm. When I say that to you, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to say that if you're so busy with all these commercials, I mean, I can go on the internet and I have to shut off the commercials because they drive me into very, very angry. Because you can't even go and get a message on there without some advertiser. Yeah, and I don't want to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in buying a car that I don't need. Or listening to some commercial about this or that or whatever. I am interested in listening to what God has to say. And whenever there's too much of that stuff, I shut it down. I just shut it down. Why? Because I don't want to be too busy, because if I'm so busy with all this stuff, I'll never be able to hear the Lord. When we purpose to quiet down in church, it's to just get you off the merry-go-round. Okay? When we take that quiet time, we get a chance to hear from the Lord. How many have had dreams in the past couple of weeks? Put your hand up. Dreams. Why do you think God gives dreams to the people? Because the TV's shut off. Hopefully. Okay? The radio's shut down. Hopefully. The cell phone's not ringing. Hopefully. And he finally gets your attention. Hopefully. You'll realize he talks through dreams. He talks through visions. He talks specifically with words. With thought patterns that will just arrest you. And you'll be aware of his love for you. For God so loved the world. And so that should be a wake-up call. The church is not to be a critic to the world. You say, well, that's not what they're doing. Well, they need to adjust. The church was designed to give out love. The church was designed to give out mercy and grace. Jesus did not come to all the bad people and say, you're a bunch of no good, blankety blank blank. He came for the brokenhearted and he mended the hearts. He went to the funeral and resurrected the dead. To those that were sick for years and spent all their money on doctors, he gave them an opportunity to believe for a healing. Are you ready to pray for those that don't understand Christianity? For what it really was designed to be? It was to be a building force to change the earth. A revitalizing ability coming out of you to encourage the broken, to run to the Savior, to run to the healer. And he'll meet them. He'll meet them. And he will have an impact on them. And St. Paul is facing reality here. He says, he's not saying that he can't let go of the body.
Because that's what was pressed into me. Verse 19. Well, back it up to the middle of 18. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. You say, well, now wait a minute. St. Paul needed deliverance? Does that possibly mean that you and I need deliverance?
Amen.
How many have ever had a broken heart? Well, when you have a broken heart, it needs to be what?
Mended.
It needs to be healed and delivered of all the pain and the hopelessness of today and tomorrow. Okay? You say, well, I don't feel good. I ain't got time to go to church today. That's when you should pick up your backside here and say you're going to church, because that's where you're going to get healed. You may not have the emotions of, ooh, I'm so excited about going to church today. If you're so excited about going to church, it would become a place where you know that you'll be changed and delivered and healed by God's grace. That's his whole purpose. Not to feel, oh my God, I did it again, and I'm so miserable because I'm such a sinner. Well, you don't belong to Philippi, do you? Because the Philippians were saints. Now look at your neighbor and say, get used to it. You're a saint under construction. And you're going to get better every day. Because I'm praying for you. You're an incredible saint. Just watch what God will do through you. Amen. See, when we recognize that he's doing a job in all of us, then we no longer have that superiority pride left. You know, we become humble like the weeping willow. Yeah. And while we're looking at our mistakes, he looks at what we've done right. When you humble yourself before the Lord, he will deliver you and set you free. When you make a mistake, run back to him. Lord, I'm trusting your blood to cleanse me of this mess that I can't even get out of. And admit to him. If you can't get out of it, how many have had a habit of familiar sins? I call them my pet sins. Thank you. Whatever pet sins you have, it's because they're habits. They keep coming back. You keep doing them over and over. St. Paul, who happened to be the writer of this letter, was writing to the Romans in chapter 7. He said, the very thing I don't want to do, I end up doing it. He was an apostle. Now think about that. If he had a problem with pet sins, then it's not the end of the world if you have a few problems. In Romans 8:1, he says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Well, how do you get in Christ? You get incorporated into the body of believers that have a purpose in their hearts to set the captives free. And as you purpose to do that for yourself first, you are the first person he's working on. You're the first person that he wants delivered. St. Paul is saying, I need deliverance. Well, good grief. Where do I get off thinking that I don't need it? I'm here to fix up everybody else but me. Oh. How many would like to fix everybody else but themselves? Thank you. I got two truthful people. Okay? If I could only fix them, I'd have a day off. And I would be so happy. I could just work on my tan. You're laughing. It's the truth. When's the last time you had a chance to work on your tan? Think about it. I did yesterday when I was working to set up the pool so Gabby could have a place to swim. And we worked in the sun. And it got hot. And it's okay. It's all part of the deal. The great-grandfather set up the pool so that the great-grandchildren can jump in. That's the way it works. Oh, I don't feel like going to the pool today. It's too hot.
I worked on my tan and I got a bonus. I got a tan plus a pool.
Plus it was good exercise.
And it's good exercise because, you know, I get lazy like some people, you know, like to lay down and just rest, not do anything. Oh, when does that happen? How many have ever had the poor me attitude? Thank you. It happens to the best of people. Happens to pastors. It happens to teachers. It happens to apostles. It happens to the saints. Okay? Happens to all of us. But the prayer that Paul prayed was the most important. Again, verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praises of our God. That prayer, when it becomes yours, you say, well, how can it become mine? Write it down. Declare it every day. As you declare it, Romans 10, 9 and 10 will be activated. Romans 10 says, if you declare with your mouth, believe it in your heart, it will be, and it'll manifest in your neighbor. How is it going to manifest in your neighbor? Ah, you got it. Because you become the example. You may end up being an irritation. You may end up, hear me now, you may end up being an irritation, just like Jesus was an irritation. You know why he was an irritation? Because he was healing the sick. He was putting the doctors out of work. I remember a prophecy that was given when I was still at Grace. And the prophecy was given that there was a day coming where the saints would walk on the worst floors of the hospital down the street. And one would come from one corridor and enter, and as they would walk down, the anointing of the Lord by the Holy Ghost would be so great that every room and every saint would get out of bed and be delivered. And the hospitals would get empty. And that includes the mental ones. Are you ready for that day?
Yes.
Are you also ready for the persecution that's going to come? You see, there was a taste of that in Washington State. In a city that I visited a few times, the city of Spokane in the 1930s, had an advertisement in their newspaper. I believe it was $1,000 gift if the people went to the healing rooms and they didn't come out healed, they would get $1,000.
If they didn't?
They didn't get healed, they would get $1,000. And whenever anyone submitted to those healing rooms, they came out healed. Cancer included, heart disease, you name it. And nobody ever collected the money for all those ads. You say, well, you know how many hospitals closed down during that season? Many. Well, at the height of God's grace to this country, there were cities, entire cities, where all the barrooms and jails would close. Because there was no need of any officer to be standing for somebody to steal, because the nature of the people was transformed by the anointing in the saints. The bar rooms were closed down because they had no customers. Why? Because the hearts were healed. How many people get drunk because they can't stand the pain of their own hearts?
Amen. Right.
druggies are out of business when their hearts are healed. The drug dealers would be out of work. The drug stores would close. You wouldn't need your pills at half price. Yeah. So all these people would now say, yeah, we ain't got no work because of those Christians. You know, take the time to take and see what would happen if Jesus was walking in your downtown area today. And see the results of the headlines tomorrow. And what they would be written. This week on Fox News, I believe the little boy was 4 years old when he died. 4 or 5 years old. And he went to heaven. Did anybody see it? He wrote a book about going to heaven and coming back. And when he came back, he told his mother, why didn't you ever tell me about my other sister? Well, he was maybe 3 or 2 when his mother had a miscarriage and the baby died in her womb. The baby went home to be with Jesus. And when he died and he got up there because he had some kind of a very serious disease, I don't remember all the details, but a few days after he came back from this terrible experience and his body was mending, he asked his mother, he said, why didn't you tell me about my sister? Well, he says, I met her. She was waiting for me at the entrance to heaven. And I know about my other sister that's here, but this one I have never met. Why didn't you tell me? Well, they then were convinced that heaven was real. He then asked about his great-grandfather that he met up there. And he described his great-grandfather who he had never seen because he died way before he was ever born. And his father said, he was his favorite man in all the earth because his grandfather was a lover of the Lord. And he described and got a message for his dad from his great-grandfather. You see, heaven is real. Hell is real. When you and I are fully alive in God and we're doing what we're supposed to do and we pray for discernment of what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. Now, Father, let these words permeate their hearts, and let it change them and heal them, because that's what he wants for each and every heart that's here today. In Jesus' name. Share some hugs with each other. And be blessed, for the 4th of July is very close.